You're listening to Rochester Indie Media. I'm Ted Forsyth. In a second, you're going to hear an interview conducted by me with Larry Krieger, a local Rochester attorney from October 16, 2013. Mr. Krieger is currently fighting the City of Rochester's red light camera ticketing scheme. In this 55-minute interview, Mr. Krieger, represented by Michael Steinberg, lays out a convincing and complete case against the red light cameras, basing his arguments on the lack of due process rights and the unconstitutionality of the law. In addition to the lack of due process and vicarious liability issues, he answers questions regarding the issues of public safety versus private profit, hairline and technical offenses versus people blowing through red lights, and if there is evidence to support the claim that the cameras increase safety. He talks about other issues such as how his case will impact other open red light camera ticket cases, if the city has the ability to ruin your credit, and whether or not camera systems are used in racist and/or classist ways. Mr. Krieger ends with what he feels people can do to fight back. Mr. Krieger will get a written decision regarding his case against the city from Supreme Court Justice J. Scott Odorizzi before November 8th, 2013. Thanks for listening, and remember, don't hate the media, be the media. You are listening to Rochester Indie Media. For more information, check out rochester.indymedia.org. So I'm curious. I read the transcript, and you made several points about in that hearing why you felt the red light cameras were unconstitutional, or that the ticketing mechanism that you received was deficient, I guess. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the arguments you made. And
well, sure. You know, in reading the transcript, you probably saw that the hearing examiner didn't want to hear it, and he just immediately dismissed it. And of course, he didn't know that by doing so, he was laying the foundation for me to have to sue the city over it, and that transcript would be the subject of a lawsuit. But the hearing is really part of the problem. Not only is the law defective on its face, that the moving violation gets turned into a civil offense, but it's really on the city's books, the statute and the city code is considered a civil offense, but really it's more of a quasi-criminal offense, which is an important legal distinction, meaning that they can call it anything they want, but if they hit you in the pocket, if they give you a penalty, it's quasi-criminal, meaning that you have the right to due process, but the full bundle of due process rights that the Constitution guarantees, which most people remember from high school civics, is that the government, including city government, deprive a citizen of liberty or property without due process.
Right.
And that means basically a fair hearing and a notice of what you're accused of and an opportunity to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really happen because in addition to all the problems with the city statute and the equipment itself, once you get to the hearing, you don't get any kind of fair opportunity to present your case. Because first of all, if you're not in court, in fact, let's take a step back from that. The ticket doesn't even come from the Rochester Police Department. It doesn't come from a law enforcement agency. The ticket is generated by a private corporation called Redflex, and they're a contractor that the city has hired, kind of turned over these city intersections as a concession to Redflex, which is actually a foreign corporation. They're headquartered in Australia, and they have a subsidiary here in Arizona that markets these things. And they have decided where to put these red light cameras based upon their studies of, supposedly where it would have the most impact on public safety. But I'd like to come back to that subject because I think they've picked stations that are disproportionately in low-income and minority neighborhoods because they found the right demographic that they've targeted citizens that can't really afford to fight City Hall, but they can afford to pay the $50. And that's a real problem, but I'll come back to that. So, you know, you get this ticket that's not from a law enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. It's actually from something called the Rochester Red Light Photo Enforcement Program. And if you decide to challenge it, you have to follow the instructions on the ticket. The ticket says, call this number and request a hearing. Mm-hmm. Well, when you call that number, they tell you, oh, no, there's no, you don't request a hearing and schedule anything. You have to come down to the Parking Violations Bureau, sign up, and get in line. Mm-hmm. So that the information on the ticket is wrong. And when you call, they tell you that that's not what you do, just come down. And so when you come down, you have to take off half a morning or, you know, half a day to go to the Parking Violations Bureau. Mm-hmm. So you're not in court, and you're not even in a, you know, like a red light camera court. You're at the city's Parking Violation Bureau. And by the way, I'm going on here. Did you want to get a question in?
No, I mean, actually, it's funny. You're sort of answering questions that I was going to ask you in a more,
Oh, okay, then I'll keep
but
going.
But it's pretty good. Do you want to keep going with that process of going through?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Going.
Yeah.
So you get over to the Parking Violations Bureau, which is in that ugly ramp garage on South Avenue, and you have to sign up, and you know it takes most of a morning or afternoon. When I went over there, it ended up taking 3 hours. You know, and mm-hmm. I'm a regular guy, but as an attorney, I also know my rights, mm-hmm. and I understand the legal system and administrative bureaus. And I spent most of the morning over there. And when they call you, you don't get in front of a judge or an elected judicial officer or anybody who's even an independent kind of hearing officer. You get in front of they're called hearing examiners or hearing officers, but they're really per diem attorneys who work under the umbrella of the City Corporation Counsel's office, which is the legal department for City Hall. So they don't tell you this, but I researched it and I found out that the hearing examiner actually takes directions from City Hall and they answer to the Corporation Counsel's office. So, of course, right there, it's like a Las Vegas casino. You know, the house is always going to win.
Right, exactly.
And so they record these hearings on some kind of recording system, mm-hmm. but one of the problems with the hearing is that before you go, you're entitled to see the so-called evidence against you, which is a 12-second video clip that they post that Redflex posts online at something called photonotice.com, uh-huh. which is not run by the city or the police department. It's run by Redflex as part of their concession that they, this package that they sell municipalities. And you go to the website, and it's not, the greatest video, but there's this 12-second video clip, and you can't download it. They don't allow you to save it to your desktop or your computer so that you can watch it later or save it for the appeal or future purposes. You can only watch it online on their site, mm-hmm. and it's only there for 60 days from the date of the ticket. So I got the ticket as the registered owner of a vehicle, and I knew that what they were alleging couldn't be true. So I went to their website, and I looked at the 12-second video clip, and I didn't see the vehicle registered to me blow through a red light. Mm-hmm. That definitely did not happen. So...
Well, let me ask you about that. I noted in the transcript you make the distinction between the registrant of a vehicle versus the owner of a vehicle, and
right.
that the ticket actually or this the yeah, I think you said the ticket identifies it as the registrant, or maybe it was the court. I'm forgetting what it was exactly. Can you elaborate a little bit on that distinction? And
it's actually confusing because New York State registration law says that a vehicle has to be registered to the owner, and they refer to as the registered owner. That's a legal term under New York State law with the DMV. There's mm-hmm. something called a registered owner. That's who the car is registered to. But the city law uses the term. It's either one uses the term registrant and one uses the term registered owner.
Yeah.
And in the city law, it says that the ticket doesn't go to the driver or the operator of the vehicle. It goes to the registered owner. And that's because the equipment doesn't have the technical ability to zero in on, the driver. I don't know how they would do that. I guess face right. technology or there is technology, and there are some cities around the country that have different red light camera systems that mm-hmm. do identify or issue the ticket to the actual driver. But here, the ticket goes to the registered owner. And in fact, the law specifically says that the city cannot point the cameras at the occupants of the vehicle, and it is not a an element of the offense to who's driving.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care who's driving, and they won't allow you to raise that as a defense or an issue. All they care about is the vehicle was registered to you. It's alleged to have rolled violated the red light intersection somehow,
yeah.
And they roll that 12-second. Get to the bottom line. In this hearing, they roll that 12-second videotape, and that's it. You're guilty. You're liable, and they don't care about anything. So it doesn't matter that you're not the driver. It doesn't matter that there might be a valid defense.
Right.
It doesn't matter that there's a plausible explanation. It doesn't matter that it's not really a red light infraction. I found in researching this that most of these red light camera tickets are issued really for hairline offenses,
mm-hmm.
technical offenses.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with a lot of intersections around the city, you approach the intersection, there's usually a 12-inch white, what they call stop bar,
mm-hmm.
which is a white line painted on the road where you're supposed to stop. And then there's a good margin after that to the crosswalk, and then after that, there might be additional distance to the corner, and then you're into the intersection, and in the middle of the intersection is the red light,
mm-hmm.
and then past that, obviously you're past the intersection. So most of these red light tickets are actually for people stopping on the white line when they're supposed to stop behind it, or stopping on the white line and then rolling forward. Tons and tons of these red light camera tickets are for people making right turns on red and failing to stop long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the city is basically just shooting fish in a barrel. And but what really bothered me about this is that the city's collecting almost $4 million a year from this system, and they're getting it on the pretext of public safety. Every time it comes up, they talk about people blowing through red lights, when in fact there's little or no cases of that.
Mm-hmm.
What it is people making right, they're taking advantage of, the human nature that people often make these right turns on red, and they don't stop long enough.
Mm-hmm.
What really is interesting here is the local newspaper did an investigative report, and they found some of the worst scoff laws were city employees, including, in one instance, the police chief, who made a right on red without stopping long enough.
I hadn't heard that. That's great.
And it wasn't an emergency. He was in a city vehicle, and he got one of these red light tickets, and guess what he did? He ignored it.
Right.
And it came out in the investigation that there were lots of police and city employees who got these things and just blow them off. And the city is taking disciplinary action against a lot of people now because they got caught. And another interesting thing about this, Ted, is that a lot of these tickets have been issued to county employees in county cars. Mm. And the city now has a policy that if the red light camera ticket is issued against a county vehicle, they don't enforce it, they don't try to collect it, and they just write it off. So if it's, and the reason why is in the newspaper, the city spokesman said that City Hall has decided that it's not right for the city government to try to collect money from the county government. So those tickets, they just write off. And the county has a policy of letting it go. You know, they don't hold the driver responsible because the city doesn't hold them responsible. So if it's about public safety, why doesn't it apply to city and county employees?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you also made arguments in the transcript about what you call lack of a deponent or no sworn statement by the person who's actually reviewing the tape.
That's a legal issue under evidence law. There's no witness. You know, one of the first things I noticed when the ticket came in the mail to me, again, as the registered owner, mm-hmm. is that as an attorney, I'm familiar with the vehicle and traffic law, and mm-hmm. I looked at the ticket, and the wording on the ticket doesn't comply with the New York State vehicle and traffic law. It doesn't have the correct wording, and it isn't sworn to by anybody, and you can't tell if the person who has like a machine-made signature on it, right. Presenting the charge, is a law enforcement officer. Doesn't look like they are, and in any case, that person doesn't come to the hearing to swear to the videotape being properly downloaded and handled, and that it's an accurate representation of what they claim occurred, which is a law in regular court that they can't run a video without having somebody swear to its accuracy.
Right.
Otherwise, it's called hearsay. But and we are not in court, and the city here can run these things without anybody proving that they're accurate. And it's just so unfair that you don't get to cross-examine a law enforcement officer who handled the video or be able to test the evidence about what happened, just before and after.
And that would also kind of lead into like the issues you also talked about with per diem attorney, the hearing officer asked you to like look at specifically what happened with you, and you were saying that like, well, you know, based on the disclaimer, the footage has actually been tampered with. There is no, real-time clock. And if you have no one there to even testify what they did to the footage, how can you actually, this is your argument that I'm getting out of this, how can you actually, believe what you see? I mean,
It's
kind of crazy,
It looked to me on their, because again, I got to look at it on their equipment at the hearing, and it's mm-hmm. only 12 seconds, but it looked to me like it was sped up.
Yeah.
It was, jumpy, and the frames are jittery. And the next problem that happened is when the hearing examiner just, quickly dismissed my legal arguments and, found for the city, I filed for an appeal.
Yeah.
And again, the appeal is not in court. The appeal is in the Parking Violations Bureau, which is not it's under the umbrella of code violations and the Corporation Counsel's office. So it's really not very professional. Not to knock the city because I'm on the other side of this, but it's not a very professionally well-run operation.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not a court, and they don't observe, the formalities that a court would do. And so, again, I'm back in front of the Parking Violations Bureau over a moving violation that's going to hit me in the pocket pretty good, and everybody else that gets these things.
Right.
By the way, if you don't pay the $50 within the short time frame, they send it out to collection, and if you don't pay it then within their tight time frame, they get a judgment against you. In fact, the city announced last week that they have a problem with scoff laws. A lot of people just blow these things off.
Mm-hmm.
And the city announced last week that they're now going to start taking civil judgments against people, which means that if you get a ticket and you don't pay it, the city gets themselves a judgment and will file it with the county clerk's office, and it becomes a lien on any real estate or property you have in your name, and it also dinks your credit. And in some cases, it could hurt your credit pretty good.
So
there is a real penalty here, even though they're saying it's a civil offense. You know, they've candy coated this and said that you don't get license, you don't get points on your license, and it doesn't affect your insurance and all that. Well, you know, that's to sell it to the public, maybe, but they don't tell you that they're going to ding your credit and that you're going to get a judgment against you if you don't pay and pay quickly.
But
anyways, getting back to the appeal. So I filed for the appeal, to go through the proper legal process. And in preparing for the appeal, I went back to the Redflex website called photosnotice.com to look at the video again and prepare my case. And I was shocked that when I go to the website to look at the video again, it's gone. And there's a message that says that it's more than 60 days and the video is no longer available.
So does that mean that it just got
deleted? And they're like hiding the ball.
Does that mean it was just deleted and like you have no recourse now? Or like how do they?
Well, I found out later that it's not deleted. They really do have it, or they can keep it if they want it. Because later when we filed a lawsuit and we went to court, the video reappeared, and they released it to one of the TV stations. So they wouldn't give it to me as the
quote-unquote defendant, I guess, in this?
As the defendant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that they were more than happy to give it to the news station because they thought it might show their, improve their case.
Right.
So the whole thing is just very unfair. And, again, I watched the video. And the vehicle that was registered to me is on the stop line.
Mm-hmm.
It did not go through the red light.
Mm-hmm.
The city attorney was on TV saying that they're trying to stop people from blowing through red lights. Well, my vehicle in this instance was stopped on the stop bar. It did not blow through the intersection. It didn't blow through a red light. It was a very technical hairline infraction. And in any case, they issued the ticket to me as the registered owner. They don't want to know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of cases that are much worse than that. I've heard of cases, since this made the news, people have called us with all kinds of similar, but really bad experiences they've had. A guy called me the other day who said that he was stopped at a city intersection where one of these red light cameras is. And in his rearview mirror, he saw a truck coming at a high speed behind him. And it didn't look like this truck was going to stop. So he did, what any intelligent person would do is he went through the intersection. It fortunately, was safe for him to do that. And he drove through a red light to avoid getting hit from behind a truck that, for some reason, was just, about to blow through the red light.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing, fortunately, happened. He didn't think anything more of it. And about 3 weeks later, he got a notice in the mail that he got a red light ticket. So he goes down there, and he explains to the hearing examiner. Of course, this is him telling me. But he's relating this to me. And he told me that he went to the hearing, and he explained to the hearing examiner that he saw a truck coming behind him, and he was going to get hit if he didn't do something. That was the only thing he could do and the sensible thing to do because it was safe to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The hearing examiner dismissed his defense and said it doesn't matter. He's the registered owner. The tape clearly clearly shows him going through the red light, and he gets the, guilty, and he has to pay the $50. Here's what's wrong with that. In most states, including New York, there's something called the defense of necessity, which isn't really a law. It's a common law idea that says if the only way you can avoid an accident is to drive through a red light, then you're allowed to do so if you can do it safely. Mm-hmm. And that's just common sense besides common law. Mm-hmm. So New York, under the vehicle and traffic law, recognizes that defense. And in fact, I guarantee you that if a police officer was on the corner and saw this, the driver would not have been issued a red light ticket.
Right.
And if they were issued a red light ticket, despite common sense, once they get to a hearing, if it was in court in front of a real judge who's following the law, mm-hmm. that ticket would be dismissed because you have a valid defense. Under the Rochester law, they don't care about anything. They roll the tape, and that's it, period. You're guilty. $50.
So one of your other arguments was there was a lack of due process safeguards, and you sound like just listening to you talk about this, it just sounds like that's obviously the case. And I was just, when you went in there to fight this ticket, were you surprised by what had happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first thing that surprised me was that the hearing examiner didn't really know what to do. He kept looking at the clerk,
right,
who was kind of prompting him. And the clerk is sitting next to him. Her job is supposed to be to is to hand him the file and mark down what happened and turn the video on and off. She's not supposed to be a prosecutor or conduct a hearing. Mm-hmm. And I guess they don't get many people who go down there and know their rights or who properly contest these things. So they're used to just quickly telling people you're wrong and or you're guilty and that's it. So when I went in there started to raise legal objections and procedural objections, he didn't really know what to do. And so he's looking at the clerk, and the clerk starts telling him all kinds of things, and that I don't get a hearing, and that if I'm not the registered owner, that I was the registrant, because that's what the DMV papers say, mm-hmm. and not the registered owner. So the law, the Rochester law, uses terms that are different than New York state law, and he's taking cues from the clerk, and then the clerk pulls out a book and reads to him what he's supposed to do. And you heard the exchange there.
I objected that
the clerk is acting like a prosecutor, and the hearing examiner is taking directions from her, and he's acting like a prosecutor. So it was not at all a fair hearing at all.
Right.
And but the thing speaks for itself. They don't want to listen to defenses. And, to be fair to the hearing examiner, the law doesn't really let him consider defenses. He's stuck because the Rochester law is written in a way that there is no discretion or leeway for the hearing examiner to consider anything except the car is registered to you, it's on the video, and it appears to be on or over the stop bar, and that's it. He's not allowed to consider that there's a good reason, or that you're not the driver, or anything else. And a lot of the cases that we've heard about since filing the lawsuit are people who weren't who didn't do anything wrong, were not the least bit guilty, like people who lent their car to a neighbor.
Right.
People who are car dealers and let a customer take their car out on a test ride with dealer plates.
Yeah.
And we've heard from grandparents and Good Samaritans, people who allowed somebody to use their vehicle, and the person had no idea that they got a red light camera ticket because the system is kind of a stealth mm-hmm. system. Unless it's at night and you might see it go off, you have no clue that you just picked up a red light ticket. And again, this is because you don't, most of these tickets are not people blowing through a red light. I suppose if you blow through a red light, you would know that. And of course, you know, you would deserve a ticket. But most of these tickets are for people that are making a right on red and they didn't stop quite long enough, or they stopped on the bar. And so most of them are clueless, have no idea that they just picked up a red light ticket. And if it's an employer's car, the employee may not even know about it.
Right.
We've heard from tons of people who got tickets when, you know, obviously they weren't in the car, they weren't the driver, they have no idea what happened because they allowed somebody to use their vehicle, which is a perfectly legal thing to do.
Right, right. So one of the last arguments I read in this is that you basically said, like, on the face of it, the statute and the law are invalid. And
yes.
I'm wondering, who writes this stuff? Is this just, like, coming from Red Flex, or is this, like, legislation that was passed here in Rochester? Like, how did this come about?
Question, it was written by city council and signed by the mayor and put into law on a local level.
Okay.
So Red Flex doesn't write the law, but I'm glad you mentioned them because the way this came to Rochester is, you know, this foreign corporation, Red Flex, you know, is an international company that manufactures and distributes these photo enforcement systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they lobbied cities in New York State. And in fact, they got in trouble because one of their lobbyists wasn't properly registered here, and they paid a fine, but they were successful in selling this bill of goods to Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
They also lobbied Syracuse, and Syracuse turned them down flat because they had heard about a lot of problems around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no red light camera systems in Syracuse. It's been in Rochester about 3 years, and it was passed into law by city council, and the wording of the law was probably put together by the city's corporation council and voted on and passed by city council. So it's a 100% local law, and the constitutional defect in it is that they're charging the registered owner without regard to whether they're the driver or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the way the law is worded, it says that there's a presumption that the registered owner is liable for the offense. So in the legal term, presumptive liability is what's in the statute. And what that means in plain English is that you're automatically guilty.
Mm.
And that's just, and you know, there are some areas of law where that's allowed, and it, you know, makes sense, but not in this case, because it's a fiction that every vehicle is only driven by its registered owner,
right.
And punishing somebody for being on the registration to a vehicle for somebody else's moving violation. So my argument is that it's invalid on its face because the way it's written deprives you of your due process rights.
Mm-hmm.
Due process rights. You're not allowed to go in there and say, "Wait a minute, guys, I wasn't even driving."
Right.
They won't allow you to say that.
So this is a good segue. This leads me on to September 24th when you went before Judge Odorizzi. I got there late. I was in court supporting someone else earlier in the day. But I was wondering the arguments you've sort of been explaining to me over the past 20 minutes or so. Were those essentially the same arguments you brought before the judge?
Yes, and additionally, the judge also wanted to hear about whether the red light cameras actually do any good, and the reason why is that once a statute is on the books, there's a legal concept that says statutes already enacted into law are presumed to be valid unless you can show a good reason why they're not, and so the city was saying that this is all about public safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were saying, no, it's about public revenue,
right.
But finance. But the judge said, well, do the cameras really work? And does it have a public safety effect? Because that might lead to the law standing up and accomplishing what the city says it's supposedly supposed to do. So my attorney got into some of the statistics, and our argument was that, in fact, the city cannot point to any statistical study locally or nationally that shows red light cameras increase safety. In fact, there's no studies locally that the city did, except that there was, I guess you could call it a report from Redflex about where the cameras should go. Mm-hmm. But of course, they have an incentive to put them in areas where they're going to maximize the number of tickets written. So there's no study in Rochester. And by the way, let's not forget that these cameras are only in the city, not in any of the towns or suburbs.
Right.
So if it's really about public safety, you know, there's a lot more traffic in Pittsford and Greece and all the towns and suburbs than there are in cities, mm-hmm. in the city neighborhood. And it's only in the city, though. So that right there is suspect. But the argument in court was that there are reliable studies that show that red light cameras actually increase danger at mm-hmm. intersections because it makes people gun shy mm-hmm. and have a tendency to step on the brakes when they're in that dilemma zone. Mm-hmm. You know, when the light's about to turn yellow and you don't think you have enough time, you could go, but you don't want to get a $50 red light ticket, and it's increased rear end collisions.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also seen that there's evidence that just the presence of these red light camera systems at intersection creates danger because people are trying to find you know, where the cameras are in the sky and are looking around, and that 2 or 3 seconds that the driver is looking to see where's the red light camera distracts them from the traffic conditions on the road in front of them. So just their presence is distracting, and in fact it actually increases rear end collisions according to a lot of experts.
Right. I remember when the Redflex was coming in and they were making the case and the city was saying we need these. The county, I remember reading years ago explicitly, maybe 2-3 years ago, explicitly stated they did not want any red light cameras in any of their poles. And I guess this sort of relates to something you were talking about earlier about, you know, race and class, about poor, you know, communities of color, for instance, who usually get these things first. And I'm wondering, do you think that the red light camera systems themselves are inherently racist and classist based on the fact that suburbs refuse and, you know, that in the city they're accepted and then purposely used to further penalize, you know, people that are poor and people that, you know, people of color?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And first, I have to tell you that that's not one of the issues in the lawsuit because there were so many due process violations and so many obvious constitutional flaws that that was plenty to work with. So the lawsuit is just a straight up and down challenge to the law based upon the violation of due process that they're charging the registered owner, and they're not giving you, instead of the driver, and they're not giving you a fair hearing.
Okay.
So the racial aspect's not in the lawsuit, and it's not an issue before the court. But I'll tell you that my own opinion is that that's another problem with these cameras. And I've heard the chief of police in Rochester say, well, the cameras are racial or are neutral. They don't have any bias about race or mm-hmm. gender or, you know, anything else like that. And I've got to tell you that I respectfully disagree that there's no racial bias here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not with the camera system. It's with, and not with the law. It's with the implementation and location of these cameras. There's 32 around the city. The Rochester law allows them to put in up to 50, so there's 18 more coming. And the way the city has done this is that they located these cameras supposedly where there's the most red light infractions. But in reality, they place these cameras mostly in African-American neighborhoods, minority neighborhoods, and low-income neighborhoods. You know, there's one or two that fall outside of that, but most of them are predominantly in very urban and minority neighborhoods. And so even though the cameras don't have a bias, mm-hmm. and the law doesn't have any racial aspect to it. In fact, they do have a disproportionate effect on the African American and minority community, mm-hmm. because those are the neighborhoods being targeted by this.
Right.
And again, this is not an issue in the lawsuit, but the law recognizes a concept called disparate impact, which means that if a otherwise neutral law is implemented in such a way that it has a disproportionate adverse effect on one minority group, that law is suspect, and it may be unconstitutional. And I would argue that the city has purposely, together with Redflex, advising them, has purposely put most of these cameras in low-income and minority neighborhoods because they figured out that those are the areas where people may not be able to fight City Hall,
right.
may not be able to take a day off from work, or may not know to go down and how to exercise their legal rights, but they probably got $50.
Right.
And so the city has found the sweet spot and has purposely located these cameras in such a way that there's a disparate impact, and it is, I think, racially, there is a built-in bias in the way they located the cameras.
But what is the status of your ticket now during this period where Judge Odorizzi is considering the arguments of the city and you?
The status of it is that it's on hold, and it's pending the disposition of the lawsuit. But that's a great question. I'm glad you asked me, because here's what happened in my case. And I'm an attorney, so I know my legal rights, and I'm represented by a trial attorney who has been advocating for me in court, and listen to what the city did earlier in the case. And this really doesn't inspire confidence in their system. After I went to the first hearing and was quickly found liable, and I filed my appeal, that should have put everything on hold. And then in addition to that, we filed a lawsuit. Well, once the lawsuit was filed, the city attorney got involved. They contacted my attorney, and everything was supposed to be heard in court. The city then asked for an extension and wanted more time to prepare their response, you know, which is common, and my attorney agreed to it. So that put us like past another so many days.
Right.
Well, in the meantime, the city attorney notified the Parking Violations Bureau that this ticket is the subject of a lawsuit and keep it on hold. And so we weren't worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 weeks after that, I got a notice in the mail that said the city now has a judgment against me, and I have like 7 days to pay or it's going to go to collection.
What?
And I received a notice the next day. Apparently, the collection department doesn't talk to the legal department. After I got a notice of the judgment against me for a ticket that was supposed to be on hold and was the subject of a lawsuit, an outside collection agency sent me a notice saying that I have so many days to pay them, or they're going to file it in my credit history and take further action. So, of course, I called my attorney, and he called the city attorney, and the city attorney said he was sorry, you know, and apologized and said it must have slipped through. And they called the credit bureau and the collection people and told them to send it back. But can you believe that?
Yeah.
I have a lawsuit against the city over the ticket, and they sent it to collections anyway,
yeah.
and they get a judgment against me anyways, knowing that this is in court. So I have no confidence in the Parking Violations Bureau to run a fair and square operation.
Has this lawsuit affected any other tickets, or is it just your ticket? You're very isolated here in terms of like...
Yes, I can give you the legal answer to that, and it's an easy one. Everybody who has an open case would be affected by the outcome of this decision.
Okay.
Everybody who has a ticket that has already been paid and their case is closed... would not be affected by this.
Got it.
And of course, this is going to, if the court upholds the Fifth Amendment and strikes down the Rochester law, then of course the city won't be able to enforce this red light camera law anymore and not be allowed to issue any tickets like this.
You had talked earlier about how cameras have been placed in certain neighborhoods, racial demographics, class demographics. I remember reading a report earlier this year, maybe, where a couple of yellow light cameras, I think on North Goodman or North Clinton, I'm forgetting which street, were basically speeding up the yellow light sequence. And doing my own research, I read about that in California, where that was like a consistent problem. And people brought suit against the company, the city, the municipalities. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that. Like, is that an intentional thing, a technical thing? Is that just...
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, that wasn't the issue in my lawsuit.
Right.
But that has occurred in Rochester, and it's happened in other cities. The case in Rochester was a gentleman received a red light ticket for an alleged infraction by his wife. He got the ticket as a registered owner. And this gentleman was a more educated consumer. This was in the local news. And he went out to the intersection because he was so angry about the way the city handled this. And he sat there and he timed the light. And he did this over several days. Mm-hmm. And he discovered that the yellow light was shorter than any other yellow light.
Yeah.
And he contacted New York State and he found out that that intersection was improperly calibrated and the yellow light was too short. And of course it was you know, one of the city intersections where the camera system was set up, and the city's made the news, and the city's response was, well, we don't even control that, it's controlled by the county, and we didn't set it up that way on purpose, and it's an honest mistake, and anybody who got a ticket like that can challenge it. And so even after this, everything came down on them for that intersection being improperly timed. The city still didn't automatically dismiss those tickets.
Right.
What they did, because I mean, there's tons and tons of them. It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, right? Yeah.
So what the city did is they posted on their website that if you have a ticket from that particular intersection, you're allowed to have a hearing, even if you paid it, you're allowed to have a hearing. And they'll reconsider your case. Isn't that unbelievable that the city gets caught with the yellow lights being timed in their favor and improperly, and they don't just automatically return that money? Instead, they say, well, you can take your day off from work and you can come down and have a hearing.
That's crazy. It goes back to your expression, shooting fish in a barrel. I mean,
yeah.
I guess the idea for them is like, well, not everybody's going to come down, so we can at least save some of the money, right? I mean,
I think that's their plan.
Can I go off on a slight tangent away from red light cameras for a second?
Yeah.
This involves another set of cameras in Rochester, the blue light cameras, which are the police surveillance cameras. I think they're manned actually by the RPD. I could be wrong about that. But I'm wondering, is there any kind of similar challenge that could be brought against those cameras, or is that a whole different realm?
Well, I think that's a worthy topic for inquiry as well, but it's a whole different realm because in that case, the blue light cameras are actually run by a police department, and they're not just automatically generating, you know, criminal charges.
Right.
They're using it more for surveillance and intelligence purposes, and I'm not sure that that's good policy or good policing either. Although, you know, there may be some valid police science reasons there or not. I don't know. I'm not an expert in the blue light cameras.
Yeah.
But that's completely different than the red light camera system because the blue light cameras are not a profit-generating concession.
Right.
The red light cameras are.
Okay. I've got just a few more quick ones here. Well, maybe quick, maybe not. I've
well,
definitely.
I'm good till about noon 10.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll wrap up here in a second. People I know and myself at times have said, you know, we live in a police state. Like, how do you feel about that phrase, police state? And do you think it's applicable in this situation?
Well, you know, it is to some extent. And the phrase that comes to my mind is brother. because the city has, you know, basically turned over 32 intersections to a private corporation and told them, go and have at it. They put Big Brother on 32 corners, and even worse than that, they've subcontracted it out to a foreign corporation that's building this huge database of all kinds of surveillance going on at those corners. Mm-hmm. And no, we don't live in a complete police state, but putting Big Brother on critical corners, and especially in residential neighborhoods in some cases, mm-hmm. is getting us on that slippery slope. And it's just, you know, it's bad law, it's bad public policy, it's really a hidden tax, and it's mm-hmm. definitely a bad tax policy. And, you know, the city should just be honest. If they need to raise money, then they need to, you know, go to city council or go to the voters and put in a straight up or down tax increase. Mm-hmm. But don't come in through the back door and really put this tax on the poor, or put a hidden tax on drivers, and do it under the pretext of public safety. That's, you know, a Big Brother approach, and it's leading us into a police state where, you know, bottom line is, if you're a law-abiding citizen, just minding your own business, driving down the street, the city should not be watching you on every corner.
Mm-hmm. What can people do to fight back?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, if you have a ticket from a red light camera right now that's open, stay tuned, because the court is expected to issue a written decision by around November 8th. And if the court, I'm being cautiously optimistic, finds that there is a due process problem and strikes down the law, then that would affect everybody who has an open ticket. If you have a closed case, then that's really unfortunate, but the lawsuit won't affect those. And in general, people ought to be educated consumers. And, you know, I'm fortunate as an attorney, I'm familiar with the law. And if mm-hmm. I'm not, I can go look it up. Mm-hmm. But people also need to be their own attorney, be their own advocate, and look up the law. It's all available. It's out there. It's in the city code. It's online. And there's a great local law library in the appellate division building on East Avenue downtown, and go find out what your rights are, hire an attorney, or be your own attorney, and don't let city law violate your privacy or your constitutional rights. You know, I don't think people should have to give up their constitutional rights to live in the city, or when you drive into the city, or anything else. Be an educated consumer, and don't get mad, don't take the law into your own hands, but go to court. Mm-hmm. That's what I did, and I'm confident that the court is going to find that the local law fails to meet constitutional standards.
Larry, I love your glasses. Can you tell me anything about them?
Oh, well, thanks, Ed. You know, we like to have a little fun, and I like to have some fun with fashion sometimes. So, you know, we're real serious about the law. But I like to have a little fun, too, so that's what the frames are about.
They're great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well,
this is really
welcome.
Excellent.
You know, if you would, let me know when you post it.